the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
I'm Danielle. I am a clerk for South East in XMP. And just thank you so much for having me here today and for letting me share a little bit about XLP with you, also sharing a little bit about that passage that we've just read. XLP works across London. We work in 9 boroughs. We support young people who've had direct and indirect experience of poverty and trauma, crime and social behaviour. And we do that by being embedded in their communities. We're in their estates with our XLP buses and vans. We're in their schools doing one-to-ones and group work. We are getting to know their families, we're supporting their employment, and basically we're just really involved in their lives. XLP is all about putting young people first and working for the long term. And part of why we have to work for the long term is because lots of the young people that we work with have been let down by the other adults in their life, or the other services in their life that have said, "Yeah, we'll do that," and then have fallen away. We have to turn up day in, day out, prove to them that when we say we're going to do something, we do it. And that we're not going to give up on them, and we have to prove that that's true. And then through that, our relationship with those young people is built, and then we have that trust. And once we have the trust, we earn the right to speak into young people's lives. The other reason why we work with young people for the long term is that lasting change takes time, and we want to be there with them in through the ups and the downs. Through the ups, when everything's going right, we want to celebrate that, we want to be there with them in that, but then also in the downs, when things don't go right. We're there, we're non-judgmental, and we're there to support them regardless of what they're going through. So that's a really short overview of XLP and what we kind of do. And if anyone is interested in we ask through prayer, through volunteering, through mentoring, financial, whatever, please come and chat to me at the end of the service. I would love to speak with you. But in the meantime, I wanted to share with you all some of my reflections on today's passage. When I kind of read all the different ones that were possible, I was really struck by the parable of the sower and spent some time kind of reflecting and praying about it, and how those reflections from that kind of parable, how I've seen that at work in the stuff that we do with young people. And there are three reflections, because all good things come in threes, that's why I'm here. And so these are them. So the first reflection is, what are we sowing? What are we sowing into young people's lives? Second, not all soil is ready. We know that in that parable, not all the soil is ready. And at XLP, I like to think that part of our role with young people is getting that soil ready so that when that truth comes in, it can take root and be in their lives forever. And then my final reflection is that the sower doesn't stop themselves from sowing when they see bad soil. They sow the seed anyway. So what does it mean to sow truth? And what is the truth that XLP is trying to sow in young people? When I'm working with young people, this is the truth that I always try to carry with me through the good points and the bad points. Every single one of these young people was made in the image and likeness of God. Every single one of these young people, regardless of their experiences, of their challenges, irregardless, inside each of them is that inherent worth and value that God put in them. They are loved. They are created with a purpose. And when I think about what the kingdom of God would look like for some of these young people, it looks like freedom. Freedom from addiction and crime and poverty. Freedom from harm. Freedom from doubt and disbelief in themselves. And so that is what I think of. When I think about what am I trying to sow into these young people's lives, that's that truth that I'm holding on to. That's the truth that God gave me and I want to give to others. And for that kind of second reflection, not all souls are ready. And I'm just going to come back to verse 18. So Jesus says, listen to them to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what we'll say. I've been watching a lot of Jeremy Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime. I don't know that I would recommend it. I just really like baby farm animals. That's the main reason why I'm there. Because tiny lambs and tiny piglets are really cute. One of the things that I'm learning from it is that soil, very important for farming. This is a new fact to me. And there's a lot of work that goes into the soil to get it ready. Before the seeds are even sown, there's a lot of work that kind of goes into it. In the passage, it talks about four different places and soils where the seed gets sown. One's the path, one's the rocky ground, one's the thorny ground, and the last is that good soil. And each of these has reminded me of young people that I've worked with and made me reflect that sometimes our role isn't just about sowing, but it's about getting the soil ready. So that the next time that seed of truth can be planted, it will have a better chance of taking. So soil one, which was sown along the path and then snatched away by birds. Birds are frightening, I can believe that. And the nature of the young people's lives that we work with, sometimes, especially when they're on the edges of their communities and their schools, what sometimes happens is we have a very short amount of time with them. And so sometimes we only have like a few sessions or a few kind of experiences with those young people to sow that seed. But my hope is that even though we might not see the fruit of what we've done, when they leave us, they know what a safe, kind adult is. And actually, for the next safe, kind adult that they meet, they're going to be more receptive to that truth being sown in. Then we have soil two, the rocky ground. The seed that's received with joy, but there isn't enough of a root and doesn't last very long. And there's a young person that we're currently working with, and when I tell you, the first time we met him, it was like encountering a tornado. He was everywhere. Everywhere. You would blink, and then what would have happened is he's sworn at 2 staff members, he's stolen 17 packets of crisps. I didn't even bring crisps, I don't know where he's got them from. And he has kicked a football at someone's head, and he's now in the cab of our bus beeping the horn at random people. And it was chaotic. but we are building up that relationship with him, and we're turning up every week, and we've got him a mentor. And you can see like this real like shift in this young person. He was becoming kinder, becoming more respectful. And we find out that he really liked art and drawing. And it's like, oh great, like we're really seeing some change here. This is amazing. And then the next week you turn up and you find the whirlwind again. And before you know it, he's throwing biscuits at everyone's head and has at once pulled my hair, which was wild to me. And sometimes when you go through that, it feels like, maybe it's too hard. Maybe we need to give up on this one. But then you reflect on some of the stones that are in this kid's soil. Rejection, because he's been kicked out of every school he's ever been in. Lost in a family of a lot of siblings, all with their own kind of complex needs. And then also loss. He's the only one of his siblings that his dad has walked out on him. He's been like abandoned. We're not at the end of this story yet. And I know that change takes a long time, but my hope is that what we're doing is we're starting to loosen up those stones that are getting in the way of that truth taking root. That through being a safe place for him, we help him feel welcomed where there was previously rejection. That we help him feel seen where he was once felt lost. And that he feels loved where he was once abandoned. And we might have to go through a lot more seasons trying to shift those stones, but my hope is that one day those stones will shift enough for that truth that Jesus plants in us to take root in him. And then we have soil 3, the thorny ground, where worries and lies choke the truth. And this reminded me of a girl who I worked with in Elkton, and I was talking to her on one of our buses, and this boy came along and was just really unkind to her. It didn't really matter kind of what he said or did, but just really unkind. I challenged him, I was like, you can't be treating people like that. But I could see her like deflate and make herself smaller. So I talked to that young person and I come back to her and I apologised to her that she's experienced that on our session. And I was saying to her, hey, like you're a valuable person, you shouldn't be treated like that. And I will never forget this, she turned around to me and said, but I'm not valuable. And I could tell by the way she said it, she believed that with her whole heart. And she's grown up in all of this negativity and this lack of care and support that meant that actually she believed all those other lies about her rather than the truth that she was valuable. And yeah, in that moment when I'm trying to kind of speak that into her, I could like physically see those lies choking those words. And we kept working with her, and every week I would get her to repeat this sentence to me, which is, I'd get her to say, I'm a valuable person, and I'd be really annoying and really repetitive with it, because it's part of who I am. But I really was like, you need to learn this, and you need to see this and feel this for yourself, because actually you are valuable. I know that God's put value in you. And I don't necessarily know the end of her story, her family moved away. But my hope is that by planting that seed there, those weeds start to get less strong. And that someone else will help to clear those, the rest of them. Because sometimes, all we can do is sow truth and pray that the person that receives it, eventually the weeds are gone and they're able to hear it and take it on. And finally, we have soil 4, the good soil. Someone that hears the truth and accepts it and bears fruit. And I want to finish on a story of a young person I've worked with who is brilliant. At first glance, he's a real cheeky chappy, real rascal. And he once, across the walkway of our bus, put cling film, like really tightly and really carefully, the hope that the next person that would come would like walk into it and like walk face first into the cling film. He did, however, immediately forget that he did that and walked into it himself. one of the funniest kids I've ever worked with. And one day I was on my way home and I bumped into him in the high street. And sometimes God just puts you in the right place at the right time to have the right conversation. So yeah, I bumped into him and we got talking, and that was when he opened up about his life to me. And what he shared was that he shared about all the domestic violence that he'd witnessed at home, the way that his father had treated his mum and him, and what it had taken to have that person kind of removed from that family. Really heavy and traumatic, and a real privilege that he felt safe enough to share that with me. But then he shared his biggest fear, which was, what if I'm like my dad? What if that's who I'm meant to be? What if I will be like him? And having the opportunity, knowing him, knowing his heart, knowing what he was like, being able to speak to him, say, hey, like, actually, you are a kind, valuable person. You are not your dad. That doesn't have to be your path, and you can choose it not to be your path. And fast forward a few years, I still quite regularly bump into this person on the high street. He's in his 20s now. And I've even met his partner a few times, actually. And he is still the valuable, kind kid that I met then, that valuable, kind kid that man that now exists. Not perfect, not without challenges, but actually that cycle of violence has been broken and he is living in a different way. And not only is he living a different way in his relationship, but the example that he's setting to his younger sister of what to expect from someone is life-changing. She's going to grow up knowing what safe is. And so sometimes what you sow bears fruit, which is lovely. And this is my final reflection, and I'll stop talking your ear off. The sower doesn't stop from self-sowing when they see bad soil. They sow the seed anyway. And when we think about the truth that we get to hold on to, that we are loved by God, made in his image, that we have inherent worth and value and we have purpose, why on earth wouldn't we share that everywhere we could? But also, when we see the soil that's rocky, that's thorny, that have birds snatching the seed away, why wouldn't we try, dig a little deeper in those places, to sow into those places what was once sown into us? And that is, what I try to do through my work at XLP, that's what I try to do with the young people that I'm working with, trying to sow that seed of truth that God's given me